Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This episode of Wrestle Ramble is sponsored by our very own Almanac. The Wrestle Talk Almanac is back and bigger than ever and is the must-have guide to wrestling in 2019. Where else will you find who won all of wrestling's most important tournaments, discover the real names of over 1,000 wrestlers, and see the star ratings for literally thousands of matches? There's also coverage of over 250 shows from around the world, with star ratings, reviews, match times, outcomes, and attendance figures, which will likely be inflated on Eric Bischoff and Bruce Pritchard's podcasts. Not only that, but our boffins here at WrestleTalk HQ have put together win-loss statistics for every wrestler from every major promotion. So now you can be that annoying stat guy at your wrestling parties. Or maybe you can find yourself a time machine and give a copy of it to your past self so they can place a few bets and then buy a casino. I'm obviously joking, I'm not condoning betting, it's a Back to the Future Part 2 joke. Finally, the first 100 purchases will get a hand-signed photo of Ollie and myself, which I guess some people might think is a good thing. So what are you waiting for? Order it now by using the links in the podcast description or go to wrestletalk.bigcartel.com. That's wrestletalk.bigcartel.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Donate on Patreon.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Luke Owen and I'm joined by Chopper Pete Quaddell.
Chop of the morning to
there
you.
There it is!
Hello.
Hey Chop, how's it going, man?
Not bad, you?
Yeah, pretty good. Hot, mate.
Yeah.
We're recording this podcast after we've recorded the episode you're about to hear. So we've been in this room actually now for 2 and a bit hours because we were also recording some stuff for Screen Stalker.
Yeah.
And it is so hot in this room. It's disgusting. Do you know what? Actually, it's not hot. It's muggy.
Yeah.
Like I can taste the air.
Yeah, it's really humid. Ugh, it's moist.
Kind of gross. I might have to go outside. Like when we've actually finished recording this and I've edited it, I might just like literally step outside of the building.
Yeah.
I'd go for a walk.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go get some food from somewhere anyway, so I'll be walking somewhere. I need it.
It is gross. Well, what have you got on this weekend?
It's a good question, actually. I don't think I have anything on, so I'm going to chill out. Is
what?
That something I can do?
Yeah, you can. You work Monday to Friday.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm going to relax. I don't have D&D this week because one of the players is away, so I'm just going to chill. I bought a whole bunch of new games for my Nintendo Switch yesterday.
Nice.
My lady partner, sorry.
Oh, hello.
Well, her name's Michelle. You guys know that anyways, but whatever. She, for her birthday and for... for her birthday, she got 2 Nintendo Switch eShop gift cards.
Nice.
So we finally cashed those in and bought a whole bunch of games yesterday. So we got Mario & Rabbids Kingdom Battle, which looks really fun, and it was like £11. I was like, yes, please. We got a Nidhogg that we played around at your house, which was super fun, right?
Such a great game.
So I told her and I was like, we have to get this game. It's so much fun. So we got that as well. I believe she got a Just Dance. Not that I'm ever playing it, but she wanted it. So
they
sure,
still
whatever.
Make those
games. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, they do.
Wow.
The 2019 version was like £50 and the 2018.
What?
The 2018 version was like £7 because it was on offer. So we're like, we'll get that one.
Crikey.
I can't remember what else we got now. I know, it's insane.
And I bet there's DLC and microtransaction loop.
I would not would not surprise me in the slightest. I think we got Trivial Pursuit as well.
Nice.
Which is always fun.
Hey, man, couple you say that, things, but like, when I had my Xbox 360 when I was at university, I played one game on it, and that was Uno.
Nice.
And I played that because my friend at university also had it. So we used to just play Uno all evening as well, just, you know, chatting on headsets and whatnot.
Yeah.
I don't think I actually played a 360 game properly. I might have played a bit of Gears of War once.
Yeah.
And Prey? Mm-hmm. Pretty sure I might have played that. And I think I played a bit of Dead Rising.
Nice.
But really, it was all about Uno.
Yeah.
I was all about the Uno, mate.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure we're going to have a lovely weekend of just playing games. And we always enjoy doing some sort of trivia anyways. Just looking up YouTube videos of people, of trivia videos that people have done and playing on Sporkle and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure we'll enjoy having a weekend chilling out.
Nice.
Yeah. You got anything on?
Yes, I do. My in-laws have got a new patio.
Ooh.
And so,
new patio.
Exactly, a new patio in their back garden. So while we were in Peru, we were joking about how like they wanted to have, like, invite us all down so we can see the new patio.
Right, yeah.
So we have jokingly been referring to it as the patio grand reopening.
Nice.
And because we started joking about it, it has now become an event. So we have been formally invited to the patio grand reopening at my in-laws. We're going to have a nice meal and we're going to have some drinks in the garden. And I'm actually genuinely bloody looking forward to it.
So you're going to have some drinks on the new patio?
On the new patio at the patio grand reopening.
Very good.
I'm actually really stoked for it. I like hanging out with my in-laws a lot. Mm-hmm. And my sister-in-law and her boyfriend will be there. Mickey. Hello, Mickey love. So I'm looking forward to seeing Mickey love and having some beers with him. But I mean, my only like anxious worry about it is that I sort of promised that by the patio grand reopening, I'd have edited together the Peru video, because I had because I bought myself a knockoff GoPro for £30,
right,
40 quid, and so I was filming every day. I was kind of doing a video diary because we went out there for my father-in-law because he can't go anymore, and you know, we did Machu Picchu because it's the one thing he's always wanted to do and he can't do it, so we did it for him. So we were like, we'll take a GoPro with him to give him like a first person perspective of the tour. It'd be a lovely little thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
I've only edited 3 days of the tour so far.
Oof.
And I've got like, you know, another 9 days to go, and that includes all the Machu Picchu stuff.
Oh man.
So I'm a bit worried about that. I'm going to edit some of it on the way home today, because I'm on my way to a Ealing's beer festival tonight.
Nice.
Which I'm very much looking forward to as
well. Oh yeah.
But yeah, so my wife she's making a cheesecake tomorrow, so she's going to be a bit preoccupied with that. So my thinking was, brilliant, well I'll use the time she's making a cheesecake back at her mum's to edit the video.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I might have to socialize.
Oh no.
I think people might want to have a chat with me.
Socializing?
I know. I might have to sit outside in the sun and have a beer.
I know. Awful.
When I could be sat indoors editing a video.
I mean, that sounds like paradise to me.
Oh yeah. I mean, yeah. It's Monday to Friday. Why not do it on a Saturday? Be brilliant. But let's dive into the show, and then coming off the back of this show, because you obviously didn't hear the NXT podcast yesterday, emails out the wazoo about time zones and spoilers.
Oh, here we go.
We'll get into that. Here is the show. We're going to talk today about Kevin Owens.
Mm.
Last week, Kevin Owens had a big babyface turn, attacking Dolph Ziggler. He kind of like turned babyface throughout the show, then had his big culminating babyface turn when he attacked Dolph after the match. Then this week, came out and cut a very scathing promo on Shane mostly, but it was also the WWE as a whole, saying that there's too much Shane on TV, that McMahon's made hollow promises back in December. Guys like Buddy Murphy and Apollo Crews and Asuka and Kairi Sane are not getting TV time because we're focusing all of our time on Shane. And Shane's rubbish and he's kind of eating everything up, which is echoing, you know, what a lot of WWE fans are thinking. It's very much true. But we thought we'd talk more about sort of like the what's next for him. Because there's kind of two schools of thought at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So let's start with, we'll go with this one first. We'll go with Wrestle News first. So WrestlingNews.co doesn't have the greatest track record of backstage scoops. I don't think so anyway. I don't think they're not the most reputable source. They have had a couple of things, but they are not the most reputable source.
Yeah.
But their report is that this feud was designed to phase Shane off of TV. This will kind of be like Shane's last feud for a while, I guess. And it was sort of like Vince apparently is more open to the criticisms of WWE and is asking people for advice. And the bit of advice he was given was probably have less Shane. So the idea is that he feuds with Kevin Owens and that phases him out of WWE TV. I mean, what do you think of that's a good idea?
Yes. Yeah. Of course it's a good idea.
Shockingly, yes,
less
it is
Shane
a good idea.
Is a great idea. Plus, it can elevate Kevin Owens more. If it's a Kevin Owens Shane McMahon feud heading into SummerSlam, that will help build up Owens to be the one that vanquishes the Omni Shane. He will be the one to get rid of Shane. So they could put some sort of stipulation on the match, being like, if Shane McMahon loses, he has to leave WWE or he has to
retire from in-ring competition or something like that.
That doesn't phase him off TV, though, because he will still be there and manage all the people and still get involved in matches anyway.
But you do want him to come back, though.
Do you?
Well, I think that a little bit of time away will probably do him some good. I think the problem with Shane is not Shane. It's the fact that it's too much Shane.
Yeah,
it's the fact that he's involved with The Revival, The Miz, Elias, Drew McIntyre, Roman Reigns, The Undertaker, Dolph Ziggler, Kevin Owens. There's too many people that he's kind of like either feuding with or he's teaming with. And he's just sort of like, just sort of sucked everything up into this Omni-Shane.
Yeah.
He's basically taken over from the Baron Corbin role, where Baron Corbin was just sort of like sucking up that mid-card.
Mm.
Now, that's what Shane's doing, and it's too much of one thing. So actually, I think if you phase him off TV for a bit, but you can leave that option open that he can come back, I think that might work.
Yeah, I think the inherent problem with Shane, though, is that they treat him like he's a top wrestler, and he isn't.
He's the best in the world.
So I think he's the best in the world. So I think if they brought him back, he'd still be the best in the world. He'd still be a top wrestler, which is inherently a problem. Because then you have him putting on, he needs to be in a big feud because he's a big star, he's Shane McMahon, and that inherently will take up TV time from other guys that deserve it, like Owens was talking about on SmackDown, such as your Apollo Crews and your Buddy Murphys and your AOPs and Asuka and Kairi Sane. If Shane is back and he's feuding with someone, it'll be a big feud because it's Shane McMahon, which will be taking up time. Regardless of how much Shane is being used, it's still too much because you're still not going to be showcasing all these other talents. So I think, if Shane comes back as a manager, Shane comes back as an authority figure, which would be terrible, but at least he's not wrestling, that would, in theory, be fine. It's if he gets into big wrestling feuds with other people, that's the problem.
That's where you start to sort of fall down a little bit, I suppose. Is this idea that he's just the focal point of the shows. And as I said, I think the Baron Corbin comparison is quite apt because the big criticism against Baron Corbin, a couple of months ago, was that he was pushed beyond his means. They were focusing on him in the main event slot of Raw, and he was always sort of main eventing shows. He was all over the shows, and it was like, it's too much Baron. And I think actually, since he's been scaled back, he is still like, he's the main event of Extreme Rules, him and Lacey versus Seth and Becky.
I mean, it might be Shane and Taker.
I think the intergender will be the main event.
I don't think it will.
Yeah, you reckon it's going to be...
That's my prediction for a bonus point in Wrestle League, please.
Maybe that should have been our bonus question of what do you think on main events. But he is like, he is still figured in that main event scene, but he has had significantly less TV time over the last month. Between Stomping Grounds and this, he has had significantly less TV time than he had back in December or January or February, like in the lead up to Mania.
Yeah.
And actually in after Mania as well. And I think actually the heat on Baron from fans has lessened, not to the extent of that he's not over anymore and he doesn't generate heat, because he still does get heat, but he's got less of that go-away heat that he had previously. So I wonder if Shane going away and then coming back, as you say, as a manager, or he just comes back and does feuds for Mania and for SummerSlam and for Survivor Series, and you just sort of have him appear on the Big Four, maybe not the Royal Rumble, but the Big Four, and sort of spread him out so he almost becomes like an Undertaker-style role.
Yeah.
Where you just cart him out for the big marquee matches because, as you say, he's pushed as a big star. I don't know if he still sells tickets, but, I mean, you could argue that every WWE pay-per-view has sold fairly well with the exception of Stomping Grounds, and that was the one pay-per-view he wasn't on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whether that's causation or correlation, I'm just putting that out there.
I feel like it might have a few other factors going into it, but...
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's sorry, you were gonna make a point.
Yeah, it's just that I just don't see that Shane I just don't see him as that big star that they think he is. And I think inherently he'll be taking TV time away from other people that could use it better.
Yeah.
So bringing it back to Kevin Owens, who's yes. who we're supposed to be talking about. I think, yeah, what's next for him should be that he is the one to vanquish Shane, who sends him away either permanently or for a while. And I think he should become one of the top babyfaces, if not the top babyface, in the company.
Bigger than Roman?
In the eyes of the fans, in the eyes of the fans that the internet bubble,
yeah.
yes. Not necessarily in terms of the casual audience, but I think he'll be if he's not the top, he'll be number two to Roman.
And that's kind of like what... So WWE, by all accounts, the Observer was reporting this way back when, was that the idea is that he was going to be brought back as one of the top baby faces, particularly on the SmackDown side. That's why he was having those sort of like... not backstage segments, but those sort of vignettes with it, being at the cinema with his kid or going bowling with the family and things like that. And he was meant to come back for his baby. I think they completely botched that from the start.
Oh, because, they really did.
Because Vince brought him out,
yeah.
which made him seem like a heel, but then he was still acting like a baby face. And it completely fell apart. And then the heel turn was there because Brian got injured. And now this feels like this is kind of like the restart point for Kevin Owens. This feels like this is our first... This is the babyface we were supposed to get at the start before that lead up to WrestleMania was so bizarre in hindsight.
Weird, wasn't it?
Weird, weird few weeks of TV.
Yeah.
Vince just appearing from out of nowhere, be like, Charlotte! Okay.
Which was never explained.
No, it wasn't.
Never
but
followed
it was never
up
explained
on.
Why he picked Owens either. No. I know he hated Kofi, but why did he pick Owens? Like, that sort of thing was never really covered.
No.
But anyway, that's regardless of the point.
Because Vince was he's a Deus Ex Machina. He's like, well, you know what? We'll just bring out Vince. He'll introduce some guy, and then the match will be changed. Fine.
I guess so. But my question is that even with Heyman and Bischoff coming in as the executive directors, and they're going to be like putting forward their ideas and kind of leading the creative meetings, it is still Vince's company.
Correct.
Vince has got the final say on everything. Vince has got to sign off on everything. So no matter what Heyman and Bischoff bring to the table, I go back to that PW Torch article from earlier this year, or actually not, I say earlier this year, only a couple of months ago, where they said 100 ideas are pitched. Only 99 of them get rejected. And it's just Vince likes the one idea that gets put through. Same thing had happened with Heyman and Bischoff. So my question is, I'll get to that now, is would Vince pick Owens over Roman to be the guy that vanquishes Shane? And it kind of makes sense yeah. that it would be Owens based on that promo.
Yeah.
But then at the end of the day, it is still Vince.
Yeah.
And is Vince not going to say, like, well, if Shane's going to be taken off TV forever, surely that should be Roman that
it's
does
Roman's
that.
Job.
And we've been building this Roman-Shane feud for a while to feel like it's going to build to a big singles match
yeah.
at SummerSlam. Or, you know, heaven forbid they drag it out to Survivor Series.
No, don't.
So do you think that he could pick Owens over Roman?
I think Vince has always liked Owens.
Mm-hmm.
Very much so. Obviously, he probably likes Roman more, but I think he's always very much had a soft spot for Owens, based on just from the outlook of Owens' career in WWE, his debut and beating John Cena clean, becoming Universal Champion, even though it was a squiffy finish with Triple H, it was never really followed up on.
Nope.
But Owens was one of the top guys for a long time, and he's always been seen as like a top guy. Even when he's not really been pushed as a top guy, he still felt like a top guy. He was still sort of protected in that sense, even when he was getting chucked off a steel cage by Braun Strowman. So I think...
Oh, that storyline sucked.
It was pretty bad, wasn't it? So I think that it's not as clear-cut as, well, it's obviously Roman. Because there's definitely an argument to be made for Owens.
Mm-hmm.
I do still think he's going to pick Roman, though.
Yeah. I mean, I think there is every chance that they could pick Owens to be the guy.
Mm.
But let's jump to the other side of this debate, or this story, I suppose. Because I do think there are two avenues to this. So WrestlingNews.co are saying that this whole thing is to kind of phase Shane out of TV. But WrestleVotes, who have a much better track record, it's 99% of their stuff.
Yeah, it's almost flawless.
It really is. They're so on the money with their things. I think they're very careful with what they choose to report.
Very much so.
And I think they're very smart about that as well. I have absolutely no idea who runs it. I think they're very, very smart with this. But they put up a tweet yesterday, Yes, it was yesterday.
Well, at the time of recording.
At the time of recording, 2 days ago.
Yep.
They put up a tweet 2 days ago.
Yep.
Thank you, Pete. That said, was told recently that anything WWE had planned for SummerSlam in advance was all subject to change once Bischoff and Heyman fully start their roles this upcoming week. So WrestleBates are saying that Heyman and Bischoff are being given, and this is a quote, a legitimate clean start with no forced agendas off the jump. Well, that should be from the jump, I guess.
Okay.
And so that to me suggests that all of these sort of things that we've been building to these last few months to get to SummerSlam could be just wiped off the table.
Yeah.
And we'll just like Monday and Tuesday next week will be full on restart shows where everything will just change.
Yeah.
And you thought we were zigging and we're actually zagging.
Yeah.
And Meltzer reported in The Observer this week that although it's being advertised locally at the moment, Drew versus Undertaker is not planned for SummerSlam.
Mm.
So they're advertising it in Toronto, being like, it's going to be a big marquee match. But actually, it's not on the board. And that kind of ties into this WrestleVotes report that kind of everything's off the board. So when we're saying, like, what's next for Kevin Owens, he might not be feuding with Shane come Tuesday.
God, everything might be dropped. Like, they legitimately might take Shane off TV next week.
They might do.
Because they want to.
We might not see him past Extreme Rules.
Exactly, yeah. This could go any direction. It's actually quite exciting thinking about it. I know I'm probably going to be disappointed, and they'll probably try and keep as much continuity as they can while still trying to build their own shows. I think they're just going to go, all right, so Extreme Rules didn't matter. Here's all these other things.
Saying that they're going to be full on restarts is like the extreme version of what could happen. But I think you're right. I think there will be some continuations.
For sure. So they might still keep, I think they'll keep a Shane feud going until SummerSlam. They won't just drop Shane.
Shane needs a marquee match.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that they'll do that for SummerSlam. Whether that's...
No, I'm not saying he needs one. I'm saying they think he needs
they
one.
They think he needs one, yeah. So I think, yeah, it's either going to be Roman or Owens, or maybe someone completely new. Cesaro, Aleister Black, I don't know. Anyone.
God, can you imagine if it was Shane that knocked on Aleister Black's door? Actually, genuinely, I'd have loved that.
That would have been interesting.
Because he'd have just black masked him in the face and just like pinned him straight off the bat.
Well, in your world, he would have.
Yeah.
Imagine if Shane won.
Well, oh, yeah, quite. We'll start. Mm. That's how we start a feud. Yeah. Sorry, I interrupted.
So I think they'll keep some elements of what's going on now. They'll carry that over until SummerSlam. But I do think we're going to see some changes. Like, I think Braun Strowman's going to be one of the top guys again. Because I think there was a report, I can't remember who from, but someone mentioned that Paul Heyman really likes Braun Strowman.
Loves
and wants
Braun.
To push him.
Yeah.
Ricochet, I think, is another guy that he sees a lot of talent in. So he could be pushing him after that. So I think we'll see certain guys will get a lot more exposure and a much bigger push out of the end of Extreme Rules. Owens might be one of them.
Owens could be one of them, but that's on a Heyman show. And when Owens is not on the Heyman show, he's on the Bischoff show. And I'm not going to... I got a lot of flack last week for quote-unquote burying Bischoff.
Mm.
But, you know, because I don't think that he has had many... As I said, I think he's had one good idea. People said, what about the Cruiserweights? Heyman did that first. And actually, Bischoff just copied what Heyman was doing.
Yeah.
And just signed all the way the people that Heyman had on his TV show. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to just start burying Bischoff. But Owens doesn't seem like the sort of guy that Bischoff would want to push. It's not, he doesn't feel like a Bischoff kind of guy. Very much feels like a Heyman kind of guy.
Oh, yeah.
But doesn't feel like a Bischoff kind of guy. So I'm hoping that A, I'm wrong, but B, that you're right in the sense of that he's a Vince guy. And because Vince is the one that's signing everything off, he's like, no, you got to push this guy. You got to push Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens is going to be one of our big baby faces. Certainly the number two baby face behind Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
But then again, I suppose it all depends on if we are actually going to get a brand split again as of next week and the wild cards dropped and whatever.
Yeah. I mean, in theory, we could have a legitimate brand split, as in we have two people running the shows, like behind the scenes running the shows, trying to compete to have the best show. That's an actual like real life brand split. That would be insane. So then if you had like talent crossovers, that would be all sorts of crossed wires and weird political moves and all sorts of stuff. So I think they'd probably drop wild cards if we are going to be doing that. It just depends how Vince wants to run it, whether he wants to have two brands completely competing against each other. He's like, no, you guys have got to work together to make the best shows possible kind of thing.
You've got to remember as well, the wildcard was a USA Network demanded thing. That wasn't WWE sort of panicking. The USA Network were like, why do we put Roman onto Fox. Oh, sorry, why don't we put Roman on SmackDown when we're losing SmackDown to Fox? We want Roman on our show. So they were like, they're on every show now. Yep. The wild card is what we'll do. And then it's just evolved into, they just appear on both shows now.
Yeah, wild card hasn't been mentioned for weeks now. No. Raw and SmackDown just go wherever they want.
Absolutely. And it really does feel like they've gone back to the super show format that they used to do while pretending there is still this brand split. So really, the what next for Kevin Owens thing, I think I find kind of like a very fascinating question because it's so up in the air.
Yeah, really
it
is.
It could be a huge push for him. Come Tuesday, it might not be anything. He might not even be on the SummerSlam card.
Oh,
so
God.
It's very interesting, but also, I don't know, like worrying, concerning. There's a whole host of emotions.
Yeah.
Next Monday and Tuesday are going to be fascinating shows.
They really are, aren't they?
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
If you're wondering to yourself, what the heck is a crap gimmick? Well, that's a segment we do here each and every Saturday on the Wrestle Ramble, where you, the Swaff Nation, send to us your crap gimmick submissions, and then we, the bookers and the promoters of crap gimmick wrestling, decide whether we want to sign them or not. If you want to email in, it's luke@wrestletalk.com. One more time, luke@wrestletalk.com. Huge backlog going all the way back to August last year. We cherry pick them now. But send them in regardless.
Whew. That was a good one. That was a quick.
Thanks, mate. Well, we had big news last week where we did a double signing.
We did. Yeah, it was huge.
So let's see how we get on this week. This was sent in to us by Nicholas Turgeon on August the 18th.
Here's my birthday.
Oh, well. Yeah. Happy birthday.
You know.
Happy belated birthday for last year. Here's the Ginger Reaper. He's 6'4" and 6'7". Oh, he's between 6'4" and 6'7".
He is both 6'4". He's really 6'4", but they'll bill him at 6'7". Yeah.
And he is a bulky, muscular man. He's pale white with a ginger mullet. He has no facial hair, but he has a Reaper scythe tattoo on his pec, like Lesnar's sword. He wears orange and black singlets, kneecaps, and elbow pads, and always has a necklace with a ginger attached to it. I mean, like, I guess like a piece of ginger attached to the end of it. When he comes to the ring, he's wearing a black with a little bit of orange Undertaker's Druid hoodie lookalike, and he has a Reaper scythe with a bit of fresh blood on it. His entrance music is Back Organ's Toccata, the classic scary organ song. His gimmick is that because he's ginger, he doesn't have a soul. I apologize to any of our ginger viewers. So he becomes a Reaper who kills people by sucking the soul out of them. When he's doing a promo, he's always burning a gingerbread cookie. And when it's all burnt, he says, "There's no soul left in this ginger, like my next victim."
His wrestling moves are power-based, like power bombs, clothesline, big boots, and brain busters, and mostly focus on the opponent's head. You know, where the soul is. Is it your soul within a head? I guess so. His signature move is a discus clothesline from hell and a swinging neckbreaker and a snap DDT. His finishers are an STF called the Soul Eater, where he swallows his opponent's soul while doing it, and a sister Abigail named Jack, where instead of kissing his opponent, he swallows his soul before doing it, while doing the decisive pinfall, and after winning, he bursts into a sadistic laugh and scares the hell out of a crowd. Sorry for the bad English, it's not my mother tongue. And that's from Nicholas.
Okay.
Man, so, I mean, the way that this gimmick is laid out is that this guy is legit sucking souls out of people.
Yeah. I mean, several questions about this, and I don't know which to go with first. So, it's very Undertaker-like.
Mm-hmm.
But he's basically Death, but Ginger.
Yeah. He's the Ginger Reaper.
He's Death, but... Okay. I don't know how to feel about that.
it is like a lot of crap gimmicks. It's a one-note joke that is stretched out.
Yes, beyond, very much so.
Beyond all of its... And actually, that's kind of the point of it.
Yeah.
It's kind of like stretched out beyond all of its meaning that it was started with.
Yes.
And that's the thing. It's like your starting thing was that, like, he is Ginger, therefore he has no soul. But then by the end of it, he actually sounds like he is a scary guy that is sucking the souls out of people. And
yeah.
And it sounds like he stopped being a comedy character.
And yeah, I don't think he is supposed to be a comedy character.
But if your gimmick is you are soulless because you're Ginger, that is a comedy character.
Yes.
You can't be the Undertaker.
And if you play that seriously, then you're saying that Gingers actually don't have souls.
Yeah, it's a lot of mixed messages this one. Also, the Undertaker is Ginger, let's not forget.
He is, yeah.
This was sent in to us by Matthew Muldoon on September 24th, who says, "Hi, Ollie and Luke. First time writing, but I'm a proud..." Well, this was before you joined.
I know.
First time writing you, but I'm a proud member of the Swaff Nation and a Pledgehammer. I was recently in the Western US and passed through a settlement that was famous during the Gold Rush. This got me thinking about a potential gold mine for the ever-expanding CG dub roster. The miner is an old-timey gold prospector, whose sole purpose in life is to acquire as much gold or belts as possible. Think a mixture of Goldmember and the Will Ferrell prospector character. He comes to the ring dressed like Yosemite Sam with a pickaxe and uses more rough style when wrestling his opponents, and his finisher is a spear called the Gold Rush. He's a heel because he refuses to wrestle for anyone that doesn't have gold, since that's the only thing he cares for, and will go to any length to get it. Similar to Triple H, he will grab the pickaxe when frustrated and use it to distract the referee, who will then take 5 minutes to dispose of it while the miner has grabbed the belt of his opponent's gold to whack them over their head and secure the win. Hope all is well and keep up the great work. I like a lot of this.
Yeah, yeah.
I like this a lot.
This is pretty good.
I like the Triple H, sort of like the pickaxe is his version of the sledgehammer.
Yeah. I don't think you can actually hit someone with it, though.
No, neither does Triple H. Because it'd be like a melon.
Yeah, but I mean, you sort of hit someone with a sledgehammer. You can't just
hand over the head.
Yeah, I know, but you can't. I guess it would work.
You do it with the pickaxe as well.
Yeah, I guess. It would just look a bit weird, because the sledgehammer...
It looks weird with a sledgehammer as well. He puts his hand over the hard bit.
Yeah, I know. But you buy it, though. You buy that you can, like, jab someone with a sledgehammer. And you can't jab someone with a pickaxe.
I like this. I think it works. I think you've come up with a really good idea Matt. And I'm sorry that Pete is trying to crap all over
your writing. Aside from the nit pickaxe.
There it is.
It's actually really good. No,
yeah,
I really
like this guy. Yeah. The miner is certainly up there.
It's good.
This comes in from Chris on November 17th, who says, "Hello again, Luke. This is the Italian B-I-G-M-A-N-T. Because he's meant to be BMT. But he's the...
okay.
He's the Italian Big Man T.
Okay. Big Man?
Well, no, it's literally big, space, man, space, letter T.
Okay.
But really, you got to break it down, and it's Big Man T.
So it's the BMT. It's the Italian BMT.
The Italian BMT.
Okay.
Born and raised in the rough and rugged, dark and gritty subways of New York City. Subway. Get it? During his promos, he always claims to be on a roll. He does the surfboard submission, which he calls the banana pepper as a finisher.
Not sure about that one.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a Subway reference I don't understand.
Possibly.
His other finisher comes when he drapes opponents across the top rope in a corner and does a double knee attack, slamming them all the way to the mat, Sasha Banks style, which he calls double meat. His signature is a stunning 1-2 punch he likes to call oil and vinegar. Do you get oil and vinegar in Subways? Fancy Subways are you going to?
Maybe when they do salads, you get like a vinaigrette
type of thing. Yeah.
I don't know.
And he lets his womanizer Italian side show when he hams it up with the female fans around ringside. Thanks again for reviewing another of my submissions for Crap Gimmick Wrestling. Have a great month, Luke. Send my best to the boys.
Right, so that last bit is literally just a pun in the way you've worded the email. That's not a pun based on his gimmick or anything like that. He hams it up. You wouldn't say that he's hamming it up.
Yeah, and also, are Italians womanizers? Are we saying that all Italians... Are we painting all Italians with the same brush?
Oh, you know. Those Italians. Those womanizers. Am I right, guys?
And we're saying that any womanizer is just an Italian?
Are all hot tubs jacuzzis or are all jacuzzis hot tubs?
These are the questions that you come to the Wrestle Ramble for. But aside from that line,
yeah,
I do like some of the pun work.
Okay, yeah. So I really like this up to that bit of the whole womanizing thing. Yeah, it's a stupid Subway gimmick.
But I think here is where I'm going to kind of turn against it, though.
Mm-hmm.
I feel there is more Subway puns.
Oh, very much so,
and
yeah.
More focused Subway puns, yes, that we can get out
very
of
much.
This. That's like oil and vinegar. When I think oil and vinegar, I don't think Subway.
No, exactly.
I think of a Pizza Express.
Yeah.
And, you know, a banana pepper. Maybe that's a Subway thing in the States, but it certainly isn't here in the UK. So maybe that is just a reference that's gone over our heads.
Very much
but
so,
But
yeah.
It doesn't feel like it's not encapsulating of Subway. There's no have it your way. There's no multiple options. Mm-hmm. There's no jalapenos.
Should call the big boot a footlong, for example.
There you go. Finisher is a big boot called the footlong.
Yeah.
There it is. Yeah, there's nothing like that. The size of breads and things like that.
Yeah.
I think you were almost there with this one, Chris, but not quite. Like, there's a couple of little slip-ups, I would say.
Yeah.
But I would, you know, I was going through these submissions, and I thought, we've picked out our three. They're quite short. So I've got a fourth.
Another first ever.
Another first. There's another short one. It comes from Jeremy Martin that was sent to us on January 6th, who says, hi, Ollie, Luke, and El Fakador. Sorry, Pete.
So you can see the progress in time. We've got more people on all the emails now. It's good.
My gimmick is called the Segway. The Segway is a heel who interrupts Babyface's interviews with, you guessed it, a Segway, slowly driving past. Then the interviewer forgets about the interview and cuts back to the commentary desk. Also, the Segway segues to the ring to attack Babyface's so he can move on to the next segment. The Segway is an overweight man, hence why he needs to use a Segway. Hey, not all overweight people need to use Segways. I used it once for that dance routine.
Yeah.
And actually, genuinely, by the end of it, when we, like, outside, where we had to kind of, like, not so much rehearse the Segway thing that we were doing, we were just like, the guy was like, you need to get on this first before you use it. And he'd give us, like, a little demo instruction of how to operate it. I genuinely thought, I could see why people like these.
Yeah.
This is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's a great way to get around. Anyway, he's an overweight man, hence his need to use a segue. His promos are always short and to the point and uses catchphrases of your time is short and you're lucky, we got to move on to the next segment. His moveset is basically trying to end each match as short as possible by heel tactics, i.e. leaving or DQ. He brings a clock and he tells the referee that they're going overtime. His finisher is a rolling cannonball in the corner, which he calls the segue. So he's called the segue and his finisher is the segue. Love you guys, been watching the Ramble from the start and seen every episode. Keep up the good work. That's from Jeremy Martin.
Okay, so there's a couple of things here. I like the premise of him being a guy that a stupid comedy character that just interrupts interview segments and tries to segue along to the next segment. That's fine, get that. I don't get having matches trying to keep them as short as possible and saying overtime and things like that because that's not.
That's not a segue.
No, that's not a segue because the segue is just a transition from one segment to the next. It's not. We must make this segment as short as possible.
Yeah.
So I get that he's trying to segue to the next segment all the time, which means that segments would run short. But I feel like those two wires got a bit crossed with
this. Yeah, I think so, yeah. That's where I think it falls down ever so slightly. Is because, yeah, it doesn't feel like it's really about segues. It's about kind of keeping things to time.
Yeah.
And that, for me, that's not what segues are all about.
Exactly,
certainly not in the WrestleTalk offices anyway.
Oh, no.
So we have got the Italian BMT. We've got the segue. We have got Ginger Reaper. And we've got the Miner. I mean, I'll be honest with you, I think this is a pretty cut and dry episode.
I'd say so.
It's the Ginger Reaper! No, it's not, it's the Miner.
It's the Miner.
If you want to submit a question to the mailbag, all you've got to do is become one of our awesome pledge hammers on Patreon and then leave a comment in the community section. Do not email me because I will forget that. And do you know what? Me saying that has actually reminded me that someone did email me with something and I genuinely forgot about it. But saying that has reminded me that someone sent something because this was a... Oh, no, now I can't find it. It's in an email that I've got. Right, fill for time with it.
Googling live on air. But we are... Yes, if you want to submit any more mailbag questions, like Luke was saying, if you head over to our Patreon page, you become a pledge hammer, any dollar amount, it doesn't matter how much, then you leave a comment in the community section. We'll read it out on the Saturday Rambles.
I found it. It came in from Doug. Doug, you emailed, mate. I lose these things. This
Terrible
is what
stuff.
Happens. This comes in from Doug, who says, support WrestleTalk, give them a subscribe. Hey, Luke, wondering if I can get a Patreon shout out on this Saturday's Wrestle Ramble podcast. I'm a $5 pledge hammer. I did check, by the way. You can't just email me in. I saw past this ruse right at the start, and I was like, yeah, all right. And then I was
totally
like, no, you are there, mate. You are legit. I'm getting married that day, and nothing would make this day better than a shout-out from you guys at WrestleTalk, but not Randy. Middle finger emoji to him. Would have loved Ollie Lesnar to do it, but he's got better things to do than work and bring happiness every day to his fans. Keep up the awesome work, boys. Thanks from the Green Bastard from Parts Unknown, Canada.
Cool. So, quick one. Nothing can make your day better than a shout-out from us idiots on your wedding day. Have fun at your wedding first, but also congratulations, have great fun.
Super congratulations on getting married. It is an awesome, awesome thing to do. It was the best day of my life. I would happily relive it again and again and again. In fact, actually, the only downside to getting married is that I can't do it again.
Yeah.
I can't have that day again.
Just get divorced and then married again.
No, but I'll never be able to replicate that day. I'll never, you know, and to quote Ollie Davis, it's the best wedding he's ever been to.
Oh, really? Wow. Yeah.
I know, man.
It's great.
So
I mean, he did say that to you, though, right?
He said it to other people as well.
Well, so he says.
My mum also said it's the best wedding she's ever been to. Well. I think she might be biased, but I don't know. My mum can be a harsh critic at times.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's get back into the mailbag. Congratulations on your wedding, Green Bastard.
Congrats.
This comes in from Jonathan Hedman, who says, what kind of character would you like to see wrestling on a major promotion? So I don't know if it's what kind of character or what character he would
be. So what crap gimmick would we want to see?
No. Like, as in, like, I mean, when I first read this question, it was more like a character from a TV show or a movie you'd like to see in a wrestling format.
Okay.
But actually, really, it's what kind of character would you like to see? So I don't know. It's a tough question.
It's hard to say because there's so much variety in the wrestling world right now. It's hard to think of an original idea.
Yeah.
Because they're kind of all... taken.
Because, like, a great character, for example, is like Heath Ledger's portrayal of the Joker. And you'd be like, oh, that'd be a cool character in wrestling. But there has been a character in wrestling. Aside from the fact that they did Sting did it in TNA for a little bit when he was Joker Sting. It wasn't quite like Heath Ledger's Joker, but it was sort of like a version of the Joker. But the original Doink the Clown was on the independent scene when The Dark Knight was out, essentially doing Heath Ledger's Joker as a wrestling character because he was Doink the Clown. So... yeah, I mean, you could almost say, like, I'm going to pick this character, but chances are it's been done.
Yeah.
At a wrestling promotion.
There's even elements of that now with Aleister Black's promo style. It's very Heath Ledger-like with his delivery of it. So even if it's not being the Joker, there's still elements of characters all thrown around everywhere. So really hard to answer that question.
Very difficult. Good question, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I shouldn't say I guess. It was a good question. But a difficult one to answer. But I'm just going to end this with a controversial bombshell. I think The Dark Knight's a bit overrated.
That is a controversial bombshell.
It's a 3-star movie. It's good. It is a good film. It is a good film that is like leveled up by an incredible performance by Heath Ledger.
That's what I think makes it amazing, I would say.
Yeah.
Is that performance.
But like the film itself is fine.
I think
and also the third act is very rushed with Two-Face.
It is a bit rushed, but
it's a whole film unto itself.
I would still say it's a very good movie. I wouldn't say it's a 5-star classic, but I would say it's like a solid 4 stars.
I think Batman Begins is way better. I think Batman Begins is amazing. Batman Begins is the second best Batman film behind 89.
Debatable.
Yeah.
We'll talk about this later.
Then I think it's Batman Forever, obviously. Genuinely do think Batman Forever is a fun film. It's the film the studio's always wanted. Anyway, Nate Drop Surname says, hello, WrestleTalk crew. I haven't fact-checked this.
Good 80% stuff. Fact, yeah.
But I believe that everyone who has had a Bray Wyatt puppet appear behind them has lost their match or been at the wrong end of a beatdown angle in the following segment. Could this be part of a larger storyline or just a coincidence? Thanks for all you do and keep on chopping.
Oh, well, thanks for the catchphrase, I guess. That's really curious.
I haven't had the time to fact check this myself, so I'm going to put this out there into the ether. Maybe the WrestleTalk, the SWAF Nation community can let us know if that is the case. If it is the case, though, I would almost wager it's coincidence.
Yes, I would as well. I'm trying to think of the ones that I can think of. No, I can only think of like two or three off the top of my head that have actually had cameos behind them. And
what were the cameos this week?
So
it was one behind Ricochet.
Ricochet, who won his match, but he got beaten down by the club.
And there was one on SmackDown. I can't remember who it was behind, though. I can't remember. Yeah, there was one on SmackDown. I think it was behind Bayley. Bayley have a segment on SmackDown?
Was in the contract signing, and then she beat up Nikki Cross?
No, she was just sat at ringside when Nikki Cross had a match with Carmella.
Nikki Cross had a match with Carmella.
And
then that was it? And then she beat up Nikki Cross?
Was that the show where she beat up Nikki Cross? Was that last week? That was last week, wasn't it?
Was it Raw?
No, that was last week on SmackDown. These shows just all merge into one after a while.
No, because they were on Raw and then also SmackDown.
What happened on this week's SmackDown?
Raw was a beat the clock challenge.
So the SmackDown thing with Carmella.
That was this contract signing. Yeah.
That was this week, right? Yeah. But what was the end of the segment? Nikki Cross won? Was that it?
Nikki Cross won and then they stared each other down.
Okay.
Okay.
I honestly don't remember.
Yeah, not a clue.
So I don't know. We'll pass that out to the SWAF Nation.
Yeah.
Mohammed says, thoughts on 205 Live roster joining NXT with NXT becoming a 2-hour show.
Ooh.
I mean, at least people would watch it.
It's hard to say because I think part of the appeal of NXT is that it's an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So I think increasing it out to 2 hours would diminish some of the...
Which could happen when it goes to FS1 later this year.
That's true.
If reports are to be believed.
But I mean, if you were going to extend NXT out to a 2-hour show, adding the 205 Live roster would be great because they're all fantastic wrestlers.
I'm going to slightly disagree with you on that one, though. And that's only because of the conversation that Laurie and I were having on yesterday's NXT Ramble,
mm-hmm.
which is that at the moment, NXT has... Their problem is they signed too many people.
Right.
They have signed up. There's a glut of talent. And then we're like... Actually, we haven't got enough TV time for all of you. So what you ended up with was Keith Lee appearing at Chicago last year and then hasn't had a storyline since he joined. And his promo that he had on this week's show was, I've been here for a year and I've done nothing. Matt Riddle was brought in with all the fanfare and they gave him this huge push at the start. I don't think he's got anything sorted out for TakeOver Toronto. Like, he hasn't been on TV for the last couple of weeks. He certainly hasn't been on TV since I got back. He's had one video package. And so he's there. Now you're pushing Damian Priest. You're also getting video packages for Killian Dane. Tyler Breeze has just come back. You're pushing Dream. You've got the Undisputed Era going into singles feuds and this and the
other. You've
got the breakout tournament. There's eight guys there. One of them wins at the end, but that's also eight characters that you've just introduced for TV. There's almost too many people.
Yeah.
So if you were to extend it out for a 2-hour show, just adding in more people is only just going to dilute it further.
That's a very fair point, yeah.
And Kushida. Is another one that they've given this push to. There's not enough TV time for everyone.
Mm.
So I think if you had a 2-hour TV show, you'd almost need that just for the amount of people you've got there already.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, I think I'd like to think that NXT would still keep the formula of not having everyone on every show every week.
Mm-hmm.
So if you had, 205 Live roster is only, what, 10 people, 12 people, something like that?
If that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't think it would be the hugest... addition, and they're not all going to be, you know, top stars in NXT. So I think adding them wouldn't be the worst if you keep it rotating each week.
Mm-hmm, fair enough.
I think that would be fine. Any more than that, and it does start to get a bit bloated again.
Yeah.
And
they'll just get caught up anyway. Yeah. The one who wants to support says, because that now in kayfabe, Mike didn't impregnate Maria. We don't know that for sure. Maria might have just said that.
Yeah.
Who do you think is the one who has done it? You can't say Becky. I think that
Mike.
It is Mike. I think that it is Mike.
Maria, just be Cray, yo.
I I hate that storyline.
Yeah, it's really bad.
I don't like it at all.
No.
Not a fan.
Genuinely, I think the Nikki Cross, Alexa Bliss, Bayley one makes more sense. I know.
No, I'm going to disagree with you on that one. I hate the Bayley Alexa Bliss story more than I hate Micah Maria. But I think the Micah Maria one is terrible. It's so bad, it stunned me to learn it was a Paul Heyman idea.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's probably what makes me hate it more.
It's not good.
Yeah.
It's not good at all. I'm hoping that people remember this, because when it turns into this great storyline, they can replay this moment.
Yeah.
Jonathan Edmund back again says, using the time guest theory of time travel, not sure what that is.
Don't know what that is.
What would you go back and change to make things different for that version's reality? For me, I'd prevent me from buying December to Dismember.
Great shout.
Bit harsh on that show.
Well.
But really, and actually, because we watched it for Wrestle Ramble Extra, it's not. Like, it's a bad show.
Yeah.
But it's not the worst show I've ever seen.
No.
I've watched Heroes of Wrestling.
Yeah.
That's a bad show.
Yeah.
That's a terrible show.
Very much so, yeah.
So using, essentially, yeah, if you could go back and just remove something from your reality, what would it be? Or change something. I think I would get more involved with my student radio station when I was at university. I would, just try and be more involved, because I was a bit more aloof about it. I did my radio shows and I was on the committee, but I don't think I tried as hard as I probably could have done.
Mm.
And I think I would have actually got more out of it if I had tried harder. If I wasn't such, like, I didn't care about a lot when I was at university.
Mm.
So I think if I'd have gone back, if I could go back, I would probably try a bit harder in my university years.
Yeah, makes sense. I could say that one, because I was pretty similar in that regard. I think the one I am going to go with, though, is I wish I would change how I viewed my Twitch live streams that I used to do. Because at one point I was on the cusp of making it a job, and then I flopped it.
Oh, nice.
I screwed myself over with it. So if I'd have just been more smart, then I could have made it work, but I didn't. So I'd probably change that.
Yeah. I probably wouldn't have gone to Route 66 the night I met one of my long-term girlfriends, because while I had fun, I was actually pretty miserable.
Yeah.
And I dated her for a long time, and I could have had a lot more fun.
Yeah.
Marco Talon says, who do you think is the best wrestler in New Japan to never win the IWGP Heavyweight Championship? Minoru Suzuki, Hiroki Goto, Kota Ibushi, Will Ospreay, Tomohiro Ishii, Tori Yano? Ishii's my answer.
That's a lot of names. Yeah, Ishii is definitely
Ishii. He's a guy that New Japan, by all accounts, they don't see a lot in, and he's never going to be given.
Mental.
Which is crazy, because he's so good.
He's so good.
So Ishii would be my pick. Will Ospreay's, you still got time.
Oh yeah, for sure. And I know, I see why he hasn't been heavyweight champion yet, but Kota Ibushi definitely has the talent to be champion.
Oh yeah, and he will be.
Yeah.
He'll be like one of their top guys.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
By 2020, he'll definitely be one of their guys. I can even imagine him being in a title shot for Dominion next year.
Could be even part of he's part of the G1, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I could see him beating Person, maybe getting a title shot out of that.
Yeah, could
Person.
Be. Person. Okada.
Forgot everyone's names, yeah.
I'm not sure. I don't know if they're in the same block, to be honest. I haven't had a chance to sit down and really look at the block
the G1. I know roughly who's in it, but I haven't looked at any of the matchups or anything.
No, I know. It's too much wrestling at the moment.
I know.
The dizziest bloke going today says, which wrestler do you think on the industry as a whole, which wrestler did more for the industry as a whole, and whose legendary status will mean more in 50 years' time? Hogan, Austin, or Cena? Cena's definitely the weakest of those three.
Yeah, Cena's definitely the weakest out of them.
But I think it's Hogan. Because without Hogan, you wouldn't have had Austin.
But then that's just a chronological thing.
Make your point.
Because yes, that's absolutely true. Without Hogan, you wouldn't have had Austin. However, I think it's so hard to say, because Hogan is such an iconic legend of his time and beyond his time. People still talk about Hogan now, but people also still talk about Austin now. It's just that he came like 10 years later after Hogan's peak. I think both of them are so comparable with what they've done for the industry and the eyes that they've brought to wrestling. It's so hard to pick between them.
I'd say, though, without Hogan, you don't have WrestleMania. You don't have the rock and wrestling boom. You likely don't get Raw. And that means then, like, and the wrestling world completely changes. Like, without Hogan, WWF might not have existed. So I think for me, it has to be Hogan. because he essentially, he created that wrestling boom, the wrestling boom that then just continued to grow. And then they managed to get Austin off the back of that. But without all of that boom to begin with, we probably wouldn't be sat here talking about wrestling today, because it would be such a niche thing that would probably still be territory based. Unless someone else had come in to try and, like, you know, do what Vince had tried to do in the 80s. Yeah. So I think it's got to be Hogan.
Yeah, I think I'm coming around to the Hogan idea, because Austin was responsible for one of the most iconic periods in WWF history.
The most watched period. Most money made, apart from now.
But that hasn't really led to much. It was the most iconic period, the most watched, but what are the effects of it now? The product's just kind of... Yeah. There's been no groundbreaking parts, but I guess we got SmackDown out of it.
Yeah, but that's The Rock as well.
Yeah,
and I think that Austin's, you know, his time on top was from 1998 through to 2001, and then he left.
Yeah,
you know, like, he was there for 2002, but he wasn't the top guy then, because, like, you look at WrestleMania X8, he's middle of the card against Scott Hall.
Yeah,
because they weren't factoring him into top six. I think they probably had to. They were going to afterwards, but by that point he was taking his ball and going home.
Yeah,
and then he didn't come back until 2004. He's retired now. He had his match with Rock at WrestleMania, and then he's, you know, he's Sheriff Steve, and so his time as a top guy in WWF, while, like, you know, incredibly profitable, and while there were the most eyes watching it, such a short space of time. And once he stopped, the industry just completely died out. There wasn't another boom off the back of him.
Mm.
But I think it's Austin.
Yeah.
Sorry, I think it's Hogan, rather. Sean Dunn says, firstly, the Screen Grapple Awards should get their own ESPYs.
True.
Secondly, on the spot, any wrestler, former tag team, and you name it. For example, Curtis Axel, Cody Hall, Perfect Edge.
So, it's funny, because they've just given a tag team name to The Undertaker and Roman Reigns.
The Graveyard Dogs.
The Graveyard Dogs.
A terrible name.
Awful.
It's rubbish.
God. Ryback and John Cena, you can't feed me.
Nice. Good. I like it. Oh, do you know what? While you were saying something, I probably could have thought of something. Omega and... That's because I saw that.
Yeah.
And Brian Cage as the Terminators. They both got Terminator style gimmicks.
Sure, yeah, why not?
And you just do the... yeah. Done. This comes in from Anthony James, who says, do you think WWE actually knows how to bring the Bray Wyatt gimmick to a live TV audience? For example, changing costumes in-ring or in between promos and matches?
Let's not do that, for starters.
Yeah.
Don't do that. I don't think they know.
I think they do.
Do you?
I think they have got this, because I think, and I know why they do, is because it's Bray's plan.
Mm.
Bray's the one who is leading this. He will have thought about how we're going to do this in front of a live audience. And therefore, I think that they do know. It's just they're holding off on doing the debut.
I think Bray knows. I don't know if Vince knows how to translate that. I don't know if Vince is going to let Bray do what he wants to do.
Interesting, yeah.
Yeah. So I don't think WWE knows, I think Bray knows.
That's a fair way to put it. Yeah, it's a fair way to put it. Chris Gardner says, do you think that it's possible that Seth is the one who made Maria pregnant? They're pushing Seth and Becky as a couple hard, and the end game of that is to surely either a proposal, which I doubt they'll give how early the relationship is, or a breakup. This could be why Mike and Maria are featured on Raw now. They could do some real soap opera TV and maybe have Mike and Maria supporting Seth as a heel stable. I know it's the longest shot possible, but Mark Henry is the father of a hand, so I guess it could happen. This might just be my brain going into overdrive on holiday in the heat, though. Could just be another Bailey Sting deal. Yeah, I think you might have worked yourself into an angle there. I don't think it's going to be Seth.
No, because...
That would elevate Mike and Maria too much.
Yeah, true. And also, I think because we're in much more of a reality-based era now, I don't even think the Seth-Becky stuff is going to lead to anything. They're just together because they're together in real life. It's not going to lead to a proposal or a breakup or anything like that. It's just they're together because they're together in real life.
I'd be amazed if they're still an on-screen couple post Extreme Rules.
Yeah.
Because already post Extreme Rules, their relationship, not like their relationship is done, but their need to be, like, have their relationship on TV is done.
Yeah.
Because they vanquished Baron and Lacey.
Yeah.
They could just go off into their own separate storylines.
Exactly, yeah. I think they might reference it once or twice.
Oh,
or
yeah.
Like, maybe they'll, Becky just has a match and then Seth comes out and passes her for his match kind of thing. That kind of stuff. And they'll give a quick reference, but that's it.
Yeah. Sean Dunn back again, who says, will there be a WrestleTalk anthology of all the great intro and outro songs? I mean, if you cut one together, absolutely.
Yeah.
And he says, Bailey Sting versus Sting Bailey, the Hugger versus the Stinger. Have a great game. I'm off to Haven in Wales with my kids for the holidays.
The reason I bring this up is because the guy who wants to support left a comment that said, the loser of Wrestle League Season 2 should cover Bayley's theme while dressed as Sting, which I think is great.
It's a great idea.
Josh the Lock, not Johnson, says, hey guys, I was thinking about the idea of unifying the tag belts that you guys have talked about. If they did that, what are your thoughts on a Dusty Classic tournament to determine the new champs, assuming Vince wouldn't book B Team or something to go all the way? I think it would be great if it's done with the care that NXT gets. Thanks, Josh. Well, the problem you've got there is that it's Vince hates tournaments. I'd love it because I love a tournament.
So Vince hates tournaments and he hates tag teams. Yeah. That is literally the two worst things for Vince. I'd like it if it was a Paul Heyman or an Eric Bischoff ran thing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I'm sure it'd be a lot better. Not while Vince is the top guy. Well, he's still going to be the top guy, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. I mean, I'm certainly for the idea because I love tournaments.
Mm. Yeah, me too.
I mean, because
yeah.
AEW, you know, they're going to be setting up their tag team tournament soon. And as soon as they announce that, I'm like, brilliant.
Yeah.
So excited for it.
Yeah.
Ollie Davis is number one fan and best jobber in the world, Jordan. Hi, guys. Look, I know you're not a fan of Eric Bischoff, and that's fine. However, if it weren't for him making WCW a force and making a profit within 18 months since being in charge, there wouldn't be an Attitude Era. A fully focused Bischoff makes a great TV product, and it will make it different to any competition. I would argue that Austin still would have caught fire. Austin was catching fire during, WCW's run. Absolutely. WCW did make them more creative. But that was off the back of the NWO, which was his one idea. And I've always said I'm not burying him for having that one idea. I'm just saying it was one idea. It was an amazing idea as well. It's an idea that like completely turned that company around. Mm-hmm. But it's still just that one idea. And once he had to do anything else, he didn't really have anything else to do. And I've seen a lot of people say like, but what about this? What about this? Where's like, oh, the cruiserweights. Yeah, you put the cruiserweights on TV. They all wanted to leave.
Yeah,
they wanted to leave because he would only push them to a certain level. Jericho, Benoit, Guerrero, they all left. They all left because they didn't want to be there anymore. He drove people away because he was focused on this one thing. And granted, it wasn't all his fault. He just signed a lot of people to contracts that had them with creative clauses, and then those people refused to do things. So you're right that WCW was a force, and it did make WWE, or WWF at the time, put out a better product, but Austin still would have caught fire. And you know, and he started catching fire in 1996.
Yeah.
And he still would have been on top by 1998. Crinius says, do you think that because of the great amount of talent AEW has in its singles and tag team division, people are missing out on their awesome women's division as a force to be reckoned with? Because since they launched, everyone has always been getting excited about the other matches on the card, while my personal and unexpected favourites were the Joshi Girls 6-woman tag at Double or Nothing and the Rose Sakazaki Rio match from Fyter Fest. And now I'm most looking forward to the follow-up matches at Fight for the Fallen and All Out. It's a very good point.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say that people are overlooking the women's division per se, because I heard coming out of Fyter Fest, I heard a lot of good things about that triple threat.
Such a good match.
Yeah. And
that's great.
While people were talking about certain other things, talking about like, you know, Moxley, Janela, and how that was like some crazy shenanigans or whatever, after they talked about that, they were like, oh yeah, the women's triple threat was amazing. Yeah, it was great. So I think it's just a matter of time until, because I don't think they have as many women as they do. Obviously, they don't have as many women as they do men on that. I think they're just, once they get a bit more, what's the word I'm looking for? Once it's more layered, once they have more layers to the women's division, rather than just, this is this one women's feud, then I think people will start talking about the women's division the same way they do the men. It's not that they're less talented, there's just less of them.
No, and I think that you are right, Crinius, that people are sort of not missing out on it, but I think the reason why it's not discussed as much is because their women's division doesn't have a name.
Mm.
And it's, when I mean a name, it's a name that people like recognize going in. I think there are people who will know who Britt Baker is, who know who Ali is, they'll know who Bea Priestley is. But they haven't got like a Jon Moxley. Like if Sasha Banks had gone and like if she'd left WWE and joined AEW, then the people would be talking about their women's division.
Yeah.
But they haven't got a Young Bucks or a Lucha Brothers or this, that, and the other. They've got the talent that they've got, and it's a great lineup of talents. But they haven't got that name that makes people go like, oh man, they got that person. We've got to talk about that now. That's where I think is why people aren't talking about it as much.
Mm-hmm.
Darth Almo says, what wrestling factions, past or present, WWE, WCW, or independent, would you guys like to see go head-to-head in the ring in their prime? I've got the easiest answer for this. I've said this from day, like, this should have happened. DX versus the NWO.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the dream faction warfare that never happens.
Exactly,
and
yeah.
Should have happened.
Yeah. I think you'll find it did happen at WrestleMania 31 with Sting versus Triple H.
With famous NWO member Sting. the man whose one mission in life was to rid WCW of the NWO.
Yep.
Yeah, WWE should have done DX versus NWO. They could have done it. They chose not to do it.
Yep.
And that's a real shame. But yeah, it's DX NWO.
Absolutely.
Darth Almo again says, based on your personalities and characteristics, what pop culture figure from movies and TV shows, games or books do you believe could theoretically be based on you?
That's a weird question.
Such a good question,
it's
though.
It's a good one.
Based on your personalities and characteristics, I guess it's Randall from Clerks is probably, particularly when I was a student, is very much, I feel like we share a lot of the similar personalities. Maybe not, because Randall's a bit of a dick. Maybe I'm just a bit of a dick. I certainly was when I was at university.
Maybe that's why I
warmed to him so much. You're just like me.
I genuinely can't answer that. I feel like I'm really like generic. Like there's no.
Oh, you're more than generic.
I don't have any personality quirks. So.
Oh, I think you do. But I don't know who I would say you would be.
Yeah,
in a book or TV show.
Anyone right now.
I'm going to farm that out to the SWAF Nation as well.
Yeah.
Maybe that's an error. The dizziest bloke in the world going today says, if brackets Ollie, Luke, Chopper, Pete, Andy could portray a crap gimmick wrestler, which has been already signed to CG Dub, which one would you pick and why? Kaiju. Kaiju is my pick.
The Miner that we just had.
Nice.
I'd love it.
Good. And also, do you agree with Russo that WWE and AEW are in cahoots together? No.
No.
No, absolutely not. I think actually the dizziest bloke, apparently the other one that Russo's on about at the moment, he's obviously on a conspiracy theory trend at the moment. Mm. He's brought back up again the Paul McCartney is dead one, and we've got the fake Paul McCartney in his place, which has been around since like the Abbey Road days of the Beatles, because he's got a different foot forward.
Cool.
Yeah. So yeah, apparently that's his other one at the moment that he's on. Cool stuff, Vince. I mean, you know, you just got to keep yourself busy until Vince McMahon can pick calls and
exactly,
you'll be back
yeah.
in the company. And Nicholas Andrew says, I know you keep saying that you think Shane versus Roman will end at SummerSlam, but I'm afraid I'm not that hopeful. After this week, setting up Shane versus Kevin Owens that could lead to SummerSlam, I think there could be even more Shane now before then. And I know the next pay-per-view to end it out would be Survivor Series, but I think they could extend it all the way to the main event of WrestleMania.
No!
They could do Team Roman versus Team Shane at Survivor Series and have Shane win one of the world titles at Royal Rumble while Roman wins the Rumble. That would allow for Roman to finally conquer the odds and win the title in one of the worst WrestleMania main events of all time. Do you guys think this is a real possibility? Or am I preparing myself for the worst?
Unfortunately, I could totally see that happening.
Yep.
Because WWE have a track record, especially in the last like 5 years, of doing exactly that and extending feuds out way beyond their sell-by date.
Particularly if it's a Roman-based feud.
Exactly. So, yes, I could totally see that happening.
I could totally see it happening.
But with what we said earlier, I'm hoping some of that gets scrapped.
Yeah, absolutely. Conor Curran has asked us to... I won't do that because I've already addressed that with him. Conor Going has said, any chance you guys might consider doing a weekly G1 news roundup to update the standings of each block in the tournament progress and perhaps flag up any particular matches that are worth going out your way to watch besides all of them, similar to how you do the NXT reviews. Cheers. P.S. I still don't know how to enter a subject heading, hence my caps opening. If anyone can enlighten me, please do so. I don't know, actually, on that one, but...
Nor do I.
I'm sure someone else can help you out. I would love to.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Like, it's the thing that we've always said with WrestleTalk. I'd like to do weekly Impact reviews. I'd like to be able to do weekly Ring of Honor reviews. I'd like to be able to do more New Japan reviews. Problem is, there's no interest in it, and there's not enough time for us to do it. We don't have enough time, we don't have enough people to be able to cover all of the wrestling that happens. And very few people would want to watch it.
Exactly.
And that's a shame.
Yeah.
And then that always brings back the argument, well, if you gave it coverage, would then you'd almost create the demand? Yeah, but this is a business. We're not in charge of this business. It should be added.
Mm.
But unfortunately, I don't think it's something that could be a possibility. If only for like the money thing, I just haven't got time.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the G1 results might be covered in like news videos. Yeah,
exactly, it's a news thing.
But we're not going to be doing full rambles about each day of G1. No. Unfortunately,
even like a weekly thing. But yeah, I think in the news, absolutely, like if there's big stuff in the news, like 100% it gets covered.
Yeah.
So this two topic thing stems off from one email.
Right.
Which was from Blake Ham's number one fan, Abraham, who was saying that he struggles with the time zone differences between WWE airing Raw at 5 p.m. Eastern. He doesn't get it till 3 hours later. And we kind of had reasons why. We don't know if it was an affiliate thing, why if it's just the way the time works. And he was saying that it was difficult because he doesn't want to get spoilers from Instagram. Get off Instagram was sort of like the... But yeah. To his credit, he did say, I know it's my fault.
Yes.
So there is that. But we did get some emails in about the times, I think. We also had tweets as well. So thank you very much to everyone who sent a tweet. I'm sorry that if I don't mention you by name, but thank you to everyone who did send tweets about it. But this comes in from Julian, who says, hi, guys. Just wanted to confirm what Pete said. Raw does go live at the same time everywhere in the US.
Right.
8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Mountain, 5 p.m. Pacific. If, however, you have basic cable television and no satellite dish, it starts at 8 p.m. regardless of time zone.
Right.
So the spoiler thing seems to be an Ibrahim-specific issue. That's what we want the smoke. The smoke refers to the smoke of a gun after it's fired. It's a metaphor among the youth for any kind of physical or verbal altercation. We want all the smoke is essentially just a cooler, youthful way of saying they are ready for anything coming their way. I've heard it, yeah, people have sort of like, people have had various different descriptions of what we want the smoke means.
Yeah.
I found it funny as well that people emailed in to tell me what we want the smoke means, but we confirmed it on the show.
Like, we did, yeah.
Yeah, Randy looked into it for us. But thank you, Julian, for clarifying it. He also adds, and while its origins do come from rap music, Cardi B, don't know who that person is, isn't the reason why the Street Profits are saying it. Additionally, Mr. Randy Andy, she is a self-proclaimed WWE fan. However, I'm not surprised her previous occupation is what you came to my... Yeah, so I don't know what this is.
Not clear.
She's a self-proclaimed something, I guess.
Search me.
No idea. I'm going to do...
I don't care about a Cardi B.
Cardi B. I like a cardigan.
Yeah.
Cardigan.
See, I know her for one song, and it's a song that she featured on, which was Maroon 5's Girls Like You, which was a cool song until Cardi B started ruining it.
I don't think I've ever heard the terms Maroon 5 and cool song.
It was all right.
Previous job. I spelled previous wrong.
This is going to be a fun Google.
Oh, God. Wikipedia.
Googling live on air.
Googling live on the podcast. I don't even care enough, to be honest.
No,
I might
just
save this
don't.
For later.
Yeah.
But thank you very much for your email there. We also had this email from Adam, who says, according to the TV guide, Raw is only live in Eastern and Central time zones. Both Mountain and Pacific are delayed. So now we've got conflicting...
Oh, my God. Okay.
Now we've got conflicting feedback, you guys.
Okay.
America. Sort it out.
Sort it out, mate.
Just all sit down. have a word.
Yeah.
And let us know what's going on.
Yeah.
We're a very small island.
We are.
We're a very small island that is trying to separate ourselves away from the world. We don't know what's going on outside of our four walls.
No.
Y'all did the conversations backwards in the SmackDown review intro. But to be fair, the person we emailed in said his time zone was PST, but we're currently in daylight savings. So it's actually PDT.
Oh, my God.
So this is what Adam says.
Okay.
This is how Adam says that it goes. This is different to what Julian said.
Okay.
Adam says that at Eastern, it's 8 p.m. live, and in Central, it's 7 p.m. live. But in Mountain, it's at 9 p.m. on a three-hour delay, and Pacific is on 8 p.m. with a three-hour delay.
Right.
Although... Julian said that it airs live in Mountain Time as well. No, actually, no. He said it like it's live
delayed
everywhere.
He said it was delayed
if you don't have like a cable or a satellite.
And then someone else said that it's delayed in Central and Mountain, but it airs live on Pacific and Central.
America, have a word.
Just sort it out, guys.
Have a word with yourselves.
God.
Oh, and while you're at it, just get one time zone.
Yeah,
we've only got one time zone here, and it works perfectly fine for us. Just have a word.
Sort it out, mate.
So, moving on to the spoiler debate. And actually, Seif has emailed in quite brilliantly, has just said, I mean, you use Spoiler Room Brawl for your news review shows. So, may you just transfer that. So,
we'll call it
the Spoiler Room Brawl.
Yeah.
Actually, it was my joke. I'm very proud of that one.
Yeah.
To Luke and Pete. Firstly, a name suggestion of the spoiler debate. I know you use Spoiler Room Brawl before, but it's so suitable for the debate. Secondly, let me weigh in.
Okay, here we go.
If someone just needs to stay off Instagram for 3 hours to avoid spoilers to show they're going to for a show they're going to watch, then I think they need to stop being a word redacted and find something better to do with their life than spend 3 hours perving on girls online. Oh, that's projection, mate.
That is
projection.
That's...
As someone who doesn't use any social media except YouTube and WhatsApp, is WhatsApp social media?
It's a messaging service.
I suppose you do get to update a status.
Oh, yeah, I guess you do, technically.
I don't think I've ever done it, but...
I wouldn't class it as social media, no.
Yeah, that's like, I wouldn't say that text message is social media.
No, exactly.
By the way, this is slightly off topic. Well, it's not off topic. WhatsApp is this generation's brilliant way to exploit teenagers.
Isn't it just?
Because what they have essentially done is created something that already existed.
Yes.
They looked at text messages and said, what if we could do text messages, but you have to pay to use them? Which is what we used to do in the 90s when we first got phones and we were on pay-as-you-go contracts. On pay-as-you-go contracts. And you'd go down to the shops and top up your £5 every week. And then that would last you then until the next week where you're spending money sending your text messages.
Yep.
So they looked at that and then afterwards they just became free. You get your phone contract plan. Text messages are free as standard. And you get actually, I get free minutes and free texts like every month. And so WhatsApp looked at that and I'm like, what if people did start charging for it though?
Do you have to pay for WhatsApp?
Well, if you're using data, then you are using, like if you're sending a WhatsApp outside of a signal, out of a Wi-Fi signal, you're using your data to send that message.
Yeah.
So you're effectively paying for it with data. Then if you go over your data, you're then paying to use WhatsApp and send messages. When text messages are free.
Yeah. I guess it's just the... I don't even know.
And then they sold the business for like billions to Facebook for a service that already existed.
I don't know.
They're kind of geniuses, really.
Yeah, a little bit.
I know my opinion is biased, but for God's sake, if people are really complaining about having to take 3 hours off their Instagram, this world is screwed. However, I will add, say a week after the release of a film, someone who I know is going to watch it, that I intend to watch it, spoils anything for me, then they're a douche.
Correct.
Again, social media makes it impossible to block these things out, which is another reason I don't use any form of it, where I don't control the content I view. But I'd say it's a dick move when someone knowingly spoils it for you when they know you're going to watch it later. Completely
Correct.
Agree. Yep. Completely agree 100%. With that one. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I can't say you can blame someone for tweeting after watching a new film saying, wow, I enjoyed film name, and I can't believe big spoiler happened, because that isn't directed at anyone and is just a statement. No, I think you can. I don't think that's a cool thing to do.
Yeah, for example, for Avengers Endgame, I didn't even post my opinion about the film because I personally... I don't like hearing other people's opinions about the movie before I watch it, especially for something as big as Endgame, because I don't want to know if it's incredible, the greatest movie you've ever seen. You're not spoiling any plot points for me, but me knowing that it's incredible and the best movie you've ever seen raises my expectations for the movie before I've gone in, which affects how you watch it.
Yeah. We just recorded a Spider-Man Far From Home review for ScreenStalker, which if you haven't seen it, it came out on Friday, so you can go watch that video there. And that was a spoiler-free review. And I just said, like, I thought it was a good film. You know, I won't give away my views on it, so you can go watch the video. And I said, there's a Mysterio sequence in there that's one of the best things. It's the best thing in the film, and it's a Mysterio sequence I've been dreaming about since I was a kid.
Yes.
For me, that's not a spoiler.
No.
To say that Mysterio does a thing is not a spoiler. Mysterio has a scene.
Yeah.
You know he's in the film. If I was to say what that scene was, I would consider that a spoiler.
Correct.
And I would not be on Twitter tweeting about it. But if I was to say I loved the Mysterio scene and people who've seen the film will know what I'm talking about, then I think you know that's fair game. But if I'm going to like share my views on a movie on Twitter, I would just say I thought movie was X.
Yeah.
Without any specifics.
Yeah. So yeah, for general stuff, not for one of the largest movies of all time being Endgame, but for general like movie stuff, I'd be like, "Hey, I had fun watching this thing." And that would be about it. Or this movie kind of sucked, or I didn't really rate the last episode of Game of Thrones, or whatever it was. I think if you're posting specific story spoilers or things that will affect how someone watches something, then that could be considered a spoiler.
And you can easily share your views on a film without going into spoiler specifics.
Correct.
I mean, that's what reviews are.
Yeah.
Reviews aren't meant to talk really about specific plot points and give away things, the Hollywood Reporter. They're meant to talk about sort of what they thought of the film.
Yeah.
When I saw Child's Play last week, the 2019 remake, I just said it was better than it had any right to be.
Yeah.
And I actually quite enjoyed it.
Yeah.
That's all I needed to say. Anyway, I think this whole mess, back to Seep's email that says, anyway, I think this whole mess is because of social media and people's strange addiction to it. But to summarise, spoilers are unacceptable if they're directed at someone in the knowledge that they will spoil something they intend to watch. Otherwise, it's fair game. All the best. I agree with some of your points, but not all of them.
Correct. Me too.
And to the people, we've had a few emails in. Paul sent us an email where he said a quick email to say boo to Chopper Pete.
Saw that one.
And someone else who tweeted about it as well. Pete did not spoil Endgame.
No.
At the end of that last podcast, the SmackDown review, what he said was, anyone who sends in a WrestleTalk gets better.
Yeah. And then I said, Endgame spoiler as a joke, because it's quite clearly not an Endgame spoiler.
Well, no, it's because I said, you get to the Endgame. And you said, Endgame spoiler.
Yeah. Everyone gets better.
As in the WrestleTalk Endgame.
Exactly.
The WrestleTalk get better Endgame.
Yes.
Yeah. He wasn't an Endgame spoiler. So, yeah, I think a few people said... I think that people took it out of context with what you were saying.
Exactly, yeah.
Also, even... let's not get into that. And then thank you to Ibrahim, the man who kicked this off, to suggest that the spoiler foil should be the name, but I think we're going to go with spoiler in brawl.
Spoiler in brawl.
And Daniel, thank you very much for your email. It's about the walking exercise debate, but I am going to save that for when Ollie gets back.
Makes sense.
He can hear walking all
is,
about it.
Walking is most definitely exercise. There was a podcast actually while you were away.
Oh yeah,
where I got an email in about walking being exercise, and I read it out to Ollie, and then me and him got into a little bit of a debate, and he said that, like, I don't want to talk about this because you're raising better points than Luke does.
That's
so that was great. So
I was going to just get us out of here, but I've just seen this email in for a Talk of Enough Get Betters that I wanted to read. This comes in from Cody, who says, hi everyone at the WrestleTalk crew, including Luke, Ollie, Fakedor, the lovable fill-in Pete, Simon, SoCal Val, the damn near perfect Blake Ham. Screw you, Blake. And that's about it. Back in April, I sent you an email going into detail about the horrible back problems I've had since I was a teenager and how I was going in for an epidural shot the coming day. Well, spoiler alert, the epidural shot did not help alleviate the pain.
Wow, spoilers.
Sorry, it's a different kind of spoiler room brawl now.
I had to. I'm sorry. Carry on. It's very serious.
Sorry. This is a very serious email. Fast forward to the month of June, and the pain has become so unbearable I had to take medical leave of absence from my career. I work as a behavior supervisor assisting children on the autism spectrum, so my job is demanding physically, where I have to manage the behaviors of kids and chase them around, etc. After seeing another back specialist in the month of June, he recommended I take a month off work to rest. In that month, I had another injection on Monday, July 8th, to give me temporary relief while at work on a more permanent solution. The permanent solution is hopefully on the way soon. My doctor wants to do an PRP injection, which essentially is pulling my own stem cells from bone marrow and injecting them into my lower back where the injury is. You're nodding.
I've heard of it. Yeah,
really?
Yeah.
Man,
yeah.
Sounds... brutal, right?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. But it's super cool.
Stem cell research, man.
Yeah.
It is a good thing. Research show this is 80% effective for my condition. Maybe it's 100% effective, about 80%?
Yeah.
So for the first time in about 7 years, I have the hope that I will be able on the road to recovery and feeling better. Once I'm feeling better physically, I will be able to take a month off of my mental health as well as getting back into shape. I'm getting married on October 5th of this year to my lady partner, whom I've been with for 10 years now. We started dating at the age of 16, and she helped me get through the tough times, and I can't wait to be feeling better for the big day and back to my cheery self. I wanted to email in and tell you guys that listening to all your content you both put on the podcast and YouTube channel helps me every day, and you guys are part of a daily routine. Thank you so much for all the content. I've wanted to become a pledgehammer for a while. Side note, these PRP injections are not covered by insurance, and approximately $1,500. I have to hold off from becoming a pledge hammer. I mean, mate, 100%.
Yeah, obviously.
Absolutely, mate. You need to focus on that. So thank you from the bottom of my heart for everything you do for the SWAF Nation. Much love from Carolina. And Cody has sent in an email of him and his beautiful bride-to-be of them. Save the date.
Oh, wow.
The 5th of October. Wrong way around. The 19th. I know it's not. You're American. And may I say, Cody, you are a handsome chap, mate.
That is one attractive couple right there.
Oh, man. And alive. That is an attractive couple. Yeah. Good hairline on you as well, so good haircut.
Jealous.
I am jealous, yeah. And look at this for a gorgeous photo.
Oh, that's amazing.
A nice photo of them, like, underneath, like, a boardwalk. And guys.
That's beautiful.
It is beautiful.
That's great. Well, best of luck with all the things that are happening. And I really hope that stem cell stuff pans out.
Absolutely, yeah.
Because it sounds really awesome, honestly, and a really cool solution to it. So hopefully, fingers crossed, it works for you.
And I'm just saying, you've got time, October 5th. So, you know, wing some invites across.
Yeah, definitely.
Wing some invites across.
We'll come.
Yeah, I mean, you might have to pay for us to fly out.
Yeah. I mean, if you pay
Ollie,
for everything.
Ollie will 100% not pay for us to go out. But,
yeah, he won't.
Yeah, but, you know, if you ponied up the cash.
Yeah.
You know, 1500, man, you're spending that on backs.
Easy. Easy flight coverage. Just don't get the back surgery. Just cover up flights to your
wedding. And fly out some, I'd argue, Z-list YouTube celebrities to attend your wedding.
I'd say maybe double Z-list.
Maybe Z-list is a bit high. But anyway, you guys are awesome. Thank you so, so much for your email. And thank you to all of your correspondents. But as I said, America, have a word with yourself.
Seriously.
We need to fix this issue. Ideally, we need to fix this issue before Ollie gets back.
Yeah,
because
that'd
otherwise
be great.
I'm gonna have to catch up Ollie on everything.
Oh, God.
That's more work for me.
Yeah.
So
and he won't be like you. He won't have listened to the podcast while he's away.
No, he
won't.
Because he's an idiot. Yeah. And he doesn't care about anyone.
Exactly.
Thank you so much for listening. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.